From Carolina down to Georgia, smell the jasmine and magnolia. Sleepy sweet home, Alabama, roll tide, roll. Muddy water, Mississippi, blessed Graceland whispers to me. Carry on.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Thursday morning, 251-343-0106. That's the text line. I need to be in touch with the program. Still to come on the program about a half hour from now. Our junior U.S. Senator Katie Britt will be with us. And the bottom of that hour, House Majority Leader Scott Stadhagen, along with former Alabama quarterback and Big Oak Ranch CEO Brody Croyle. We'll talk about their softball game coming up, I guess, next week. And then finally wrap it up with Dick Brubaker running in the second congressional district for the Republican nomination against Caroline Dobson. That's coming up on the 11 o'clock in the 11 o'clock hour. But joining us now, we usually do this on Tuesdays, but I'm thrilled to get him on here on Thursday. Kind of a makeup, but we haven't talked since the election. But I'm at Republican Party Chairman John Wall with us. Chairman, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Hey, thank you for making time for us. We didn't get a chance to talk about the election, but I wanted to because the second congressional district, and it was closer, grand total votes, it was closer than people thought it would be. Do you think it changes the minds of people? Especially, Ken Buck walking away in that weird situation. The razor-thin margins. We're going to see any national involvement in the second congressional district in the general election, you think?
I really hope we do. And I think this does go a long way to showing how competitive this seat could be. We know that the court designed this to be a Democrat district. And I've been a little cautious with my messaging on it. But I do believe that it's winnable. I have the whole time. And I think this election result kind of points to that. Let's be honest, it's going to be a hard fight, but we can get the ball across the finish line. And even if we don't, it's an investment in the future because this district is winnable. And if we can continue to see minorities switch, minorities see the value of the Republican Party and that the Democrats do not share their values and are polar opposite of a lot of their values. If we can continue that trend, we will win District 2 at some point, and why not have it be this year? Let's fight for it.
Well, the other thing about this, and I don't think that the national party gets this, the Democratic Party in Alabama is in disarray. There's a lack of unity. The grassroots is just out of sorts. You have a chronic malcontent sort of as the party boss there with Joe Reed. You can really take advantage of this situation. Probably not for a whole lot either, and get your dollar will go far. And this is a winnable seat, and no one's I'm sure you have, but at least nationally or publicly, no one's really making that case. There's this conventional wisdom, Chairman. It seems like that because the UVA Center for Responsive Politics or Decision Desk HQ or whatever say that this is a damn plus 10 seat or something that they're going to stay out. And I don't think that's the case at all.
I don't either. And I am making that case that this is a competitive district and it's a district we need to invest in. And like I said, it's because it's bigger than this election cycle. This is about the fundamental battle we're in as a country, which is explaining to swing districts why Republican values better serve them and better help them have a successful life than Democrat policies. And I say that's an investment because, look, sometimes you don't win swing districts this year. But if you can start the trend in the right direction, you build for the future. And I think that's something Republicans get caught on the back foot all the time. We see Democrats doing this. They're pushing their agendas early in different areas and preparing for future election cycles. Well, I think Alabama is a great opportunity to push forward, to hold a seat that the Democrats are trying to steal. Our party apparatus is far more engaged, far more in place than the Democrats are in Alabama. You pointed that out. We already have the infrastructure. We have the boots on the ground. They can start off with that front foot. Now, look, we're also, let's be honest, the fight here is not going to come from the state Democrat Party. It's going to be the DNC. It's going to be the National Democrat Party. It's going to be the National Democrat donors that come in here and try to flood this. And it's why I am definitely going to ask for ear support from the Republican, from the RNC, but also from the, you know, congressional caucus. I think they need to be invested in this race, both of them. And I think they need to make this a target.
Well, yeah. And the National Democrats, let them waste their, I mean, I know money will go far, but like, I feel like also that a lot of that, a lot of that can be absorbed. And I don't know how much money they will spend. And I don't feel like there's a lot of swing voters or whatever that you could really pick up. I think it's just turnout. I say let the DNC come in here and waste their money. And let that money, let them not spend that somewhere else.
No, that's absolutely right. A good example is the presidential race, right? If they're having to play catch up in Alabama to get the infrastructure in place that the Republican Party already has, and they're just going to have to spend millions of dollars in Alabama, then yeah, that's money they can't spend on another swing district or maybe on the presidential race, you know, putting that towards Joe Biden in Georgia or Pennsylvania. So 100%, the more fronts we can fight the Democrat Party on, the weaker they are nationally, the better for the country. So I think that's a great arguing point. I think it ties in here. And look, for me, this goes to a simple, simple fact, especially for District 2. That is a hard district. It's a district that is struggling. It's a district where families are struggling to put food on the table. They're struggling to pay for gas. They don't like the woke agenda coming out of Washington, D.C. And that's going to be the Republican Party's message to them. Look, we have more in common than you do with the Democrats. And you're struggling. What has Joe Biden done for you in the last 4 years? You're less safe. You're having more trouble providing for your families. The open border is stealing your jobs. Fentanyl is killing your communities. The Republican Party, that's the party that shares your values. That's the party that's defending your rights and freedoms. That's the party that will make your life better. And if we can communicate that district, I think the values of the Republican Party far, far, far more align with the people of District 2 than the Democrat Party.
Well, is that how you win this? Do you make it all about Biden? Do you focus on the presidential and hopefully, you know, you pick up down ballot, you know, like straight ticket or whatever, and you make this about Trump versus Biden? Or do you really need to make it the GOP nominee versus Democrat nominee?
I think you go top of the ticket. I'll tell you why. We saw this with the turnout this time. Yeah. Democrats are right now are not that excited about Joe Biden, especially Black Democrats in the state of Alabama. They understand that his policies are in disalignment with theirs. And so they're not excited about coming out to vote for Joe Biden. They're going to have their congressional nominee that they may get more excited about. But what we saw in the primary was that Republican excitement and engagement is almost as high as the Democrats. Like you said, between 100 and 150 votes separate us. That's winnable. And I think the Democrat nominee for Congress is going to play to the center. They're going to know their district. They're going to know that's a conservative district, even the Democrats in district who are more conservative. And they're going to play to the middle. Joe Biden is not. Joe Biden is going to be honest about the policies that the Democrat Party believes in. He's going to be going full bore on transgender education, on forcing this woke socialist agenda on our children. He's going to be going full bore on Bidenomics, which has been a complete disaster. He's going to go full bore on open border policies. And I think that's the place where you can draw the contrast and say, look, the modern Democrat Party and what's coming out of Washington, D.C. right now, do not share your views, do not care about your communities, and do not care about your families. And I think that's where you, I hate to say wake them up, but that's where you tell people, look, your choice is clear. And if you're honest, your choice is the Republican Party.
Well, even just like you just talk about what a bad President Biden has been and look at his, you know, State of the Union and his public appearances and tell you like he doesn't have his fastball anymore. Even when he had his fastball, I mean, it wasn't that great. And there's a case to be made there. It's beyond just a woke agenda and what the institutional left wants to do. But yeah, at the top of the ticket, just are you, this is really what you think is best for the country?
Well, the top of the ticket is that's where you go, right? You talk top of the tickets does trickle down, and it has an impact on lower races. And whether that's lower turnout because they're not excited, or whether that's people actually abandoning the Democrat Party because of their policies, I think both are going to play a role in CD2.
Beyond CD2, anything else stick out to you on this last ballot we saw?
Well, you know, I think you got to highlight two things here. One, you know, down there in Congressional District 1, Barry Moore winning, you know, that kind of almost a come from behind win, you know, it had been down in the last few polls before the election. You know, hats off to him. Hard fought race. I told somebody the other day that probably was my most depressing race in the state, because we should not have been in that position. The federal courts, to me, it highlights the problem with the federal courts getting involved in what should be a state issue. They did not, and when you look at the election results down there, when you look at the communities of interest of the Wiregrass and the community interest of the coastal areas, they're very different. We have two completely separate communities. And what we saw was what happens when an out-of-touch federal court forces a map on a state that doesn't take into account communities of interest. We saw a massive disparity between the votes in those two communities. And I think that is the sad thing, that we had a federal court that separated areas that should not have been, or combined areas that should not have been combined, and separated areas that should not have been separated. And I think that is what we take away, was we should have never been in that position. Those two RQ congressmen should have both been able to keep their original districts and been reelected. And it we see that in the disparity of those communities of interest and how the court made the mistake.
Well, I'll tell you something else real quick about that, about CD1, is, you know, it's pretty clear the folks in each of those congressional districts, Chairman, they were happy with their guy. I don't know. I mean, I know it's a Republican primary, but, like, pretty solidly, verifiably now, that they liked what they were getting from their member of Congress. The numbers don't lie. And, you know, you talk about communities of interest, but also it kind of showcases that the incumbents in both those areas were doing something, what, you know, the right thing for what and these are overwhelmingly Republican districts, but they were earning the seal of approval from their constituents.
No, that's right. And that's what good representation is about. And that is why the federal court should not have stepped in here. The Constitution clearly left it up to the states for a reason. And I think this is the sad consequences of a out of control federal court. You are correct too. It goes way past the primary. Mobile County doesn't want to be split into two congressional districts as a whole, but Democrats and Republicans, that is a tragedy for that community. And I think that we definitely saw that highlighted in these results. And now, of course, I'm going to switch here to the election we have not talked about yet, which is Donald Trump on the top of our ticket on the primary, and how he absolutely destroyed Nikki Haley and the rest of the field, getting 82% and some change, the highest. When I always like to point this out, the highest percentage he has gotten anywhere in the country while it was a competitive race. And now that Haley's out, we'll see those numbers creep up in other places. But while it was competitive, he got the highest percent of anywhere in Alabama, or anywhere in the country here in Alabama.
I want to, beyond the election real quick, talk about State of the Union response. Here's my analysis of what we see with Katie Britt and just getting pummeled by the national media. I mean, Jeremy Kirk, I mean, you probably followed this 2022 Senate election as much as anybody. I thought the rebuttal she gave was pretty much what we'd seen on the campaign trail. Now, look, if you hadn't seen it before and you live in Kansas or something, maybe you're entitled to your reaction. Here in Alabama, there's no reason for local media to act like this is something new, but like, it wasn't a surprise. It shouldn't have been a surprise to us here. That was the stylistic approach she took.
No, that's absolutely right. Look, and let's get this straight. It was not even a stylistic approach. This is who Katie Britt is. You brought up a good point. We've seen it for 2 years. Like, this is who she is. This is how she talks. This is what makes her who she is. Katie Britt is a passionate person. She cares deeply about the country, and you see that come out in her speeches. Yes, she gets emotional. You know, yes, she has different inflections in her voice. But though that's how she is. And anyone who goes back and watches her past campaign speeches, her interviews, this is who Katie Britt is. And I think this reaction you're seeing is not, look, it's not a surprise. It's not a genuine, it's not a genuine disagreement. What it is she doesn't fit the political mold. She is a young woman, with children in school, and she breaks the Democrats' narrative. She's not supposed to be a Republican. She's not supposed to be a voice for the Republican Party. She's supposed to be a liberal talking head for the Democrat Party. And because she breaks into that demographic that they so desperately want to convince the American public that they're all Democrats, all middle-aged women are Democrats, they see her as dangerous. We see this with the minority community all the time. The fastest person they jump on is a conservative minority. Katie Britt is now suffering the same thing. It's a persecution from the mainstream media towards someone who breaks their stereotype they're trying to force on the country.
I mean, it really is. And they are going to regret doing that, because it's only going to embolden. It's only going to make people more aware. Like, here it is, Chairman. It's been a week since that speech. And you look at an AL.com, and they're still just covered up with it. It's only going to solidify, especially in this state, but it's only going to solidify her support nationally.
Oh, I agree. And look, I'll tell you what it also does is it has people go watch her speech. You know, I don't know what the ratings are compared to a week ago, but I promise you there are people who are saying, what was that about? And they go watch what she had to say. And when you actually listen to the content of her speech and what she laid out and the problems she identified within the Democrat Party and with Joe Biden, they are spot on, and they are powerful, and they will make a difference with people if they actually listen to her words and the message she communicated.
Chair, we got to leave it there. Folks want to find out more about the Alabama Republican Party, what you guys got coming up on the agenda, or anything else, tell them how to do so.
Well, we love to stay in touch, especially, you know, CD2 is coming up. We need volunteers. We need activists. We need people who are engaged and want to fight to take back our country. So absolutely. Check us out online. Social media, we're all over, Alabama Republican Party. And then our website is algop.org. They can sign up to be a volunteer, sign up for updates there. And we love to stay in touch.
Chairman, thanks for hopping on short notice. We do appreciate it.
No, always good to be on the show.
Chairman John Wall of the Alabama Republican Party. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.